Okay, so welcome to, what is this, the fourth? This is the fourth? Fourth in the series. when Ray Kropkin had sent Ura and I both topics, so we both shied away from the more controversial ones, which, you know. But despite that, I think the topic of women in prayer, of the obligation and opportunities, we'll see, of women in tefillah, while it's not a particularly controversial topic, though there are maybe controversial elements to it, it is an important one in terms of speaking at some broader issues, besides for the obvious practical relevance of the topic itself. Okay, so we're going to focus primarily, really, on what the Gemara will refer to as tefillah, which we mean really Shmoneh Esrei. I mean, obviously, when we daven, we mean a lot of things. We have brachot, we have sukkah d'zimra, we have shema, we have shemoneh esrei, we have ashrei at the end, we have aleinu, we have all types of things. But what we're going to talk about is the central part of tefillah, which is simply shemoneh esrei, is the amida. Okay. Now, it all starts with a Mishnah in source 1. The Mishnah says as follows, Nashim v'avadim uktanim p'turin mikrei shema mina tefillin. So women and slaves and minors are all exempt from Shema and from Tefillin because they're time-bound. Positive mitzvot, v'chayavin v'tefillah, but nevertheless they are obligated in Tefillah, v'mezuzah, v'rkat hamazon, and in mezuzah and in v'rkat hamazon, in benching. And as soon as you read the Mishnah, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what does it mean that women are obligated in Tefillah? Why would you have thought they wouldn't be? And when we say women are obligated in tefillah, what does that include? What does it exclude? What does it mean? So, whenever we're approaching any question, we have to ask a series of, right, we have to ask a series of very basic questions. So, whenever we deal with any halachic topic, we need to ask what's true on the biblical level, what's true on the rabbinic level. And the same thing is true here. When we have that line that women are obligated in tefillah, in presumably Shmoneh Esrei, but maybe not. I mean, that is what it means, but there may be more to it. We have to ask, okay, well, is that biblical? Is that rabbinic? What exactly does it mean they're obligated? To what extent? Is their obligation equivalent to that of men? Is it different? Why? All those questions we have to ask anytime we approach any halachic topic. So, to answer that, the first thing we need to do is, what even would the obligation be? Right? So, if we start on the biblical level, what is the biblical obligation to pray at all? Right? How often do you have to pray? If there was no rabbis, no rabbinic enactments, how often would somebody have to pray? Any guesses? Even though we're sort of shooting and what? So one possibility, right, a logical possibility would be daily, right? Biblically, we don't usually have mitzvot which are more than once a day. We do have Shema, but normally obligations are either situational, or they're daily, or they're... But one possibility would be, yeah, you have to pray once a day. What else? Or forget everything that we do. If you were setting up the mitzvah, if you were setting up the obligation to pray, how often would you say you have to pray? What? All the time. And we're going to come back to that, right? That's going to be actually what the Gemara says. Right, but once a day, right? Why once a day? Just because, you know, once a day you have to check in with God, you have to, right? All the time, why?
You always need help.
You always need help. Now, based on that answer, though, you always need help, what would be another possibility of when you need to pray? What? Yeah, when you need to, right? Either always, because you always need something, or whenever you need something. Right, I think those would be the logical options, right? Either whenever you need something, all the time because there's an assumption you always need something, or some sort of regular interval, let's say once a day. So that question is in fact a dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says that the mitzvah is once a day. So if you look at number two, the Rambam says biblically, mitzvah ta'aseh litpalel b'chol yom, the biblical mitzvah is to pray daily. Shenemar v'avatem et Hashem Elokeichem. You have to serve God. And mipi ha'shmua lamdu, we learn from tradition, shavodah zui tefillah, worship, service is prayer. Shenemar lo avdo b'chol v'avchem. Because we say, serve him with all your heart, and Amru Chachamim, and the sages said, Ezu hi avodah shebalev, zo tefillah, what is worship in the heart? Prayer. Ve'ein minyana tefillot min haTorah. And biblically, there is no number of prayers you have to have per day. Ve'ein mishana tefillah zot min haTorah. Ve'ein letefillah zman kavua min haTorah. The number is not biblical. The form is not biblical. There's no fixed time. Biblically, the Rambam says you have to pray once a day. That's it. End of story. The Ramban says, no, there is no mitzvah to daven daily. There is a mitzvah to daven only when you need to. So if you look in 3, the Ramban says, "Ve'en eskama b'zeh," this is not agreed upon. Shikvar be'aru chachamim b'gemara tefila d'rabbanan. Because the sages already said that prayer is only rabbinic. Elavadai kolin yana tefila eino chova klal. So its first possibility is that there is no obligation to pray at all. Aval humi midot chesed habareit barach aleinu sheshomea v'oneh b'chol kareinu elav. It's not an obligation, it's an opportunity. It's a privilege that God says we're allowed to pray and he'll listen when we need him. That's possibility one. And then he says, "Masha darshu b'sifrei la'avdo zu Talmud, avarachar zu tefillah." When the Midrash Halacha says that la'avdo, to serve God, is prayer or study, but we'll leave that for now. Asmachli, it's just a hint; it's not actually a source. Olomar shemiklal avodah shenomot Torah shenitpalel ilav beit sarot. Alternatively, the obligation is to study Torah and pray beit hatzarot when we are in distress, when we need to pray. And our eyes and hearts should be to him alone, like servants to their master. So the Rambam says the biblical mitzvah is daily. The Ramban says the biblical mitzvah is whenever you need something. Now the truth is that the Rambam actually thinks that both are mitzvot. They're two separate mitzvot. If you look at 4, for example, the Rambam actually said, mitzvah aseh achati. There is a mitzvah, this is in Hilchot Ta'anit. There's one positive mitzvah in Hilchot Ta'anit, v'hi litzok lefnei Hashem b'chol eitz hara gdola shelo tavo al hatzibur. And that's to pray to God whenever there's a great distress that comes to the community. So the Rambam actually thinks that both are true. You have to pray at least once a day, and if anything comes up that requires asking God, then you have to ask separately. Okay, so that's on the... Yeah?
Question?
Yeah.
Is it a question of distress for the community or for the individual?
So for the Rambam, it is community. It sounds like community. Right? There's a special mitzvah for the community. Whether he would agree with the Ramban that it's also individual and the primary is for the community, I don't know. Parenthetically, though I'll come back to this, it's not going to be so parenthetical later, but we'll start, for now it is. Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested that in fact, the dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban can be minimized, and one can argue that both the Rambam and the Ramban think that prayer is fundamentally about calling out to God when you're in distress, but the argument is what counts as distress. The Ramban thinks the distress that requires prayer are the big things, and the Rambam thinks, sorry, what's your name? What Simi said before, right? Soloveitchik said what he thinks the Rambam really meant when he said pray once a day is because you pray once a day because you always have things that you need, and therefore the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban is just what counts as distress. The Ramban thinks the big things. The Rambam thinks the fact that we always need things means we're always in a state of distress, and at least once a day you need to check in with God and say, I understand that I need you for health, for parnasa, for whatever we need, and therefore he thought that they were actually working on the same axis. Okay. In a different year, I've pushed back on this analysis by the Rambam, but we'll leave it for now. Okay. So biblically, the Rambam says the mitzvah is once a day. The Ramban says the mitzvah is only in a time of distress. So if I asked you just on the biblical level, right, Chazal had never come around and inaugurated the mitzvah of davening 3 times a day. Biblically, assuming that the one principle we have is that the types of obligations that women are not obligated in is mitzvot aseh shezman grama, is time-bound mitzvot, So then, according to the Rambam and according to the Ramban, how often do you, or what would be the nature of the obligation for women to pray? Let's start with the Ramban. The Ramban is easier, right? The Ramban, who says you only have to pray when you're in a time of distress. So what would you say? That the obligation for men and women would be absolutely equivalent. There is no time component to it. What about for the Rambam? Yeah, my guess would be the same thing, that whatever the Rambam thinks for men would be true for women, because as the Rambam said, there is no time. It's just once a day. It's a daily obligation. There is no time. It's at any point. There's no format. It's just some point you got to turn to God and you got to pray. So my guess would have been that biblically, whatever is true for men is true for women, because neither for the Rambam or the Ramban is there any time-bound component. That's on the pure level of obligation, okay? Existentially, right? In terms of religious experience, if I'm not asking what is the case, but what should be the case, I would have said the same thing, right? If you asked me on a religious level, right, not a halakhic level, on a experience level, is the obligation, should the obligation of men and women to pray be equivalent, I would have said yes. Not because mitzvah seishas man grama aside, simply because, as the Ramban said, tefillah is one of the great privileges of life, and therefore, right, that God wants us to turn to Him and say we need things. Men need things, women need things, and I would have said, therefore, the obligation should be the same. Not just is formally, but should be. Like, religiously, you should want, it would make sense if men and women's obligation would be equivalent on a biblical level. But then something happens, which is that added to whatever the biblical level was, we get the rabbinic strata, which is what we know as davening Shemona Esrei three times a day. Okay? Not really. Really, two times a day plus Maariv, which becomes three, but basically three times a day. And that's what happens in number 5. So Itmar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Amar, Tfilot Avot Tiknum, Rabbi Shuv ben Levi Amar, Tfilot Keneged Tmidin. So the rabbis instituted the Shemona Esrei three times a day, and the rabbis dispute, why did they do it three times a day? Either it's parallel to the Avot, Shachar is for Avram, Mincha for Yitzchak, Mariv for Yaakov, or it's parallel to the Korbanot, the two tmidin, right, the two daily karbanot in the morning and the afternoon for Shacharis and Mincha, and then the burning of the fats and limbs at night for Maariv. But either way, it is rabbinic. But now what happened? Right, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, the rabbinic strata of tefillah suddenly has a new component to it, which the biblical one didn't have either for the Rambam or the Ramban, which is specific times. Right? And the normal rule should be that if something is time-bound, as we note, if you just skip for a moment to number 8, right, is kol mitzvot aseh shezman grama, nashim chayavin v'nashim p'tirot. Right, any time-bound positive commandment, men are obligated and women are not. Any other mitzvah, with three exceptions, are equivalent for men and women. Right? This is important just to put out there. Right? There are 613 mitzvot. A good percentage of them do not apply to the average person at all. They apply to Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash. Leaving that aside, of the 613 mitzvot, how many mitzvot are we actually talking about that are mitzvot aseh shezman grama? We're talking, if my count is correct, under 20. Just so we're clear, right? This distinction is not as large as it seems. The way the Gemara actually presents it, if you go through the complicated sugya in the middle of Kiddushin, is that the Gemara counts about, I think it's 12 or 13, of which the Gemara has about a third of them which women are obligated in anyways, about a third of them that the Gemara doesn't rely on the normal rule and is a special pasuk to tell you you're obligated, and about, it's a handful of mitzvah that actually fit this rule. So it sounds like a big sweeping rule, but when you actually think about it, it's minimal to the mitzvah, right? The 365 negatives are obligated to everybody. The mitzvahs of the Gemara are really, really quite minimal. It's just that they tend to be very public mitzvot, which is why we think about them. But realistically, they don't take up that many mitzvot. Okay, that's important just to note as a, just to point out, to put everything in perspective. But okay, we've now moved to the rabbinic level. The rabbinic level, tefillah is a time-bound mitzvah. So now we have two problems, okay? One is a halachic problem, and two, I want to keep this in mind as we go through, because here I think this really is important, not just because I think it's important. I think the Gemara goes out of its way to tell us this is important. It's a problem halachically, because time-bound positive mitzvah women are normally exempt from. Two is a religious experience problem, which is the same reason potentially that women are exempt from time-bound positive mitzvah. Right? Even if tefillah is unique, like we all want to daven, we have things we want to daven for, the same reason it is, might be hard, right, for, you know, as my wife always says, the same reason it would be hard for her to, you know, commit to, let's pick a biblical mitzvah decision with my grandma, which is hard. Also, second point, which as we'll see, most mitzvah decisions with my grandma, women have accepted upon themselves anyways, right? Like shofar, right, all women will go in here anyways. You don't have to, but the minhag is anyway. So we're really talking very few. So I'm trying to think of a good example, which is not tefillah. But tefillah is the good example. Maybe tefillin, the Gemara assumes. Okay, tefillin. Let's assume you have to get up to put on tefillin. Okay, I don't know. It doesn't really work very well because we put it on a tefillah. There isn't really a good example, but okay.
What about lulav and esrog?
Right, so lulav and esrog would be another example. Except... it's also really not as... tefillah is the hardest of them, right? And tefillah is the one which is subject to question. So, okay, let's assume that you had to do lulav and esrog in shul. You don't. But let's assume you did. Then it would be the same thing. But realistically, you don't. This is the problem here. But okay, the same reason that mitzvah seishah zman grama are potential problems for women, especially who are, you know, who have young kids at home, tefillah is equally problematic on just an experience level. It's just practically problematic, right? This is, so Ora tells me. I you know, believe this to be true. It's hard enough for me, right? It's hard enough for me when I have to run out in the morning, right? Meaning, you know, my house in the morning is basically the same thing every day. It's Toronto, so it gets light at 7:30, so it's pitch black. I get up at 6 in the morning, right? Ora gets up at like 7-something, right? And I'm trying to get ready to leave early so I can get to daven Gedor Chaim, and inevitably my 3-year-old wakes up and needs breakfast, and I'm running out, and I have to somehow get breakfast. Right? It's hard for me, right? I have no choice. Ora gets the car, so I need to catch a ride to shul. It's hard for me, even more so for Ora, because me, I can say, okay, I really need to go. Maybe Meir will listen to me. My 1-year-old, who still nurses, that's not happening, right? I can't do anything about that, and he needs Ora. So on a religious experience level, on the one hand, we would say that we want, so to speak, women to be obligated in tefillah, because tefillah is such a great thing. On the other hand, tefillah especially is really, really difficult to get to at 3 times a day. Once you introduce it 3 times a day, especially in the winter, when those 3 times are contracted into a few hours, it's a really difficult mitzvah. Okay, so what did Chazal therefore do when they instituted the rabbinic obligation? So there's really two options in front of us. Two options in front of us. One would be that just like the biblical mitzvah, women should be obligated in. So once they created a rabbinic one, even though it's time-bound, they carried over the features of the biblical law into the rabbinic one and said that women are obligated in tefillah just like men. The other extreme is to say, no, they're totally exempt, right? Once we made it time-bound, so the rabbinic obligation was negated for them, and they only have the biblical obligation, whatever that is, right? To either once a day some sort of prayer, or whenever there's a, you know, a tragedy or something that they need, so then they're obligated to pray. And theoretically, you could come up with an in-between position, right? Which is, maybe they obligated them to, when they daven with Shmona Esrei, right? Just like the obligated men, but the time stayed similar as before, and women don't have the time-bound component, right? Those would be our theoretical possibilities. But the Gemara in 6 then asked the question, okay, what did we actually do? So the Gemara said, Kriyat Shema. So Kriyat Shema, we'd said that women are exempt. Despite that, Shulchan Aruch says, reasonably, that If you can, you should say Shema, because Shema is really important. But you're not. But women are not obligated. Pshita, mitzvah to say Shema Zman Grama, uvachol mitzvah to say Shema Zman Grama, nashim tur. It's time-bound, positive mitzvah. Women are exempt. So the Gemara says, Ma'u detema hov it be malchut shamayim. I might have thought that Shema is so important because you're accepting the yoke of heaven. Kamash malan. Despite that, women are exempt. V'chayavin b'tfilah, but they're obligated in prayer. So now, why are they obligated in prayer? So as Simi said before, right? Very simply. Because prayer is dirachameninu. Prayer is about asking for mercies, asking for things. Ma'u detema holoktiv ba'er b'voker v'tzahorayim k'mitzvah datzei shesman grama dami. I might have thought that it is, even the biblical mitzvah is sort of time-bound because the psukim describe in Tehillim that people normally daven morning, noon, and night. Right, if you look in Tehillim, number 7, Ani Elokim Ekrava Hashem Yoshieni, right, I call to God and He'll save me. Erev Bavoker V'Tzahorayim Asicha Ve'Emev Yishmak Oli. Evening, morning, and noon, I complain and moan, and He hears my voice. So I might have thought it's time-bound, women are exempt. Kamash Mala, no, women are obligated because Tefillah is about asking for mercy, and men and women equally need mercy from God, and therefore they are obligated. Okay, so now if I asked you, with the background that we had, namely, that the biblical mitzvah of prayer is not time-bound, when the Gemara then says that women are obligated in tefillah, I might have thought they aren't because it's time-bound, but they are because it's mercy. So then, what are they saying? Right? Are they saying, I might have thought that the biblical mitzvah is sort of time-bound, but in the end of the day, it's not, and therefore women are obligated in the biblical mitzvah? Or are they saying that the rabbinic mitzvah was modeled on what the biblical mitzvah could have looked like, namely that we normally daven in the morning, in the middle of the day, and at night? The rabbinic mitzvah is patterned on that. I might have thought that women would be exempt from the rabbinic mitzvah, and they're even obligated in the rabbinic mitzvah exactly as men are, meaning shachris, mincha, and mariv. So, right, what did we actually do? What did the rabbis say? What did they say when they said women are obligated in tefillah? What type of tefillah? Biblical prayer, rabbinic prayer, exactly like men, different, right? The Gemara doesn't really tell us. And if you look at the Rishonim try to figure out, well, what even was the discussion? It gets hard because the text is not clear. Different Rishonim, a different version of the text. If you look in 9, Rashi had the following version. Hachi garsinan, tefila dirachameninhu. Women are obligated in prayer because it is for mercy. Velo garas pshita. And they didn't say it is obvious that they are obligated. Deha lav d'oraisi. It's not biblical. And therefore, the normal rules of being time-bound are irrelevant. Right, so the Gemara wasn't asking a time-bound question. It was asking a very simple question, which was, should they or should they not be obligated? The answer was yes. But the time-bound equation didn't really enter into the equation because on rabbinic obligations, sometimes Chazal will obligate women and men equally. Tosfot says as follows, and yet, the reason that the Gemara even discussed it, because sometimes the rabbis patterned rabbinic law after biblical law, and therefore would have said, even though the time-bound component of prayer is rabbinic, we would pattern it after biblical law, and women would be exempt. The Gemara says that's not true. Kamash malan, it's not true. Women are obligated in the rabbinic tefillah exactly like men. The Rambam, in 11, says as follows. He says, "Ulfichach nashim v'avadim chayavim v'tefillah." So the Gemara that we have said, why are women obligated in prayer on a rabbinic level? Because even though it's time-bound, it's for mercy, and therefore we override the normal principle of being time-bound. Right? The Rambam had a different version, as did the Rif, which was that ulfichach nashim v'avadim chayavin v'tfilah lefi shehi mitzvah aseh shelo azman grama. Women are obligated in prayer because it's not fundamentally time-bound. Even though the rabbinic strata is time-bound, prayer at its core, as we've already seen, is not time-bound. Right? Prayer is either for the Rambam a daily mitzvah at any time, or for the Ramban whenever you're in distress. But there was no discussion of time-bound at all, right? So for Rashi and Tosfot, it is time-bound, but we override the considerations of time-bound because existentially, everybody needs to pray. Religiously, we need to pray, and therefore it doesn't matter that it's time-bound. And for the Rambam, it isn't even time-bound at all. Right, and then he continues. Let's just read this one in English. He says, but the obligation of this commandment is as follows. A person should supplicate and pray every day, relate the praise of God, and afterward ask for their needs as a request and a supplication, and afterwards give praise and thanks to God for the good that has been bestowed upon them, each person according to their ability. Right? Prayer is prayer. Right? It's not this time-bound thing at its core. It's a natural religious response to life. And therefore, women are obligated. There is the time-bound component is a mirage, right? That's just the rabbinic strata, but prayer at its core is not is not time-bound. Rabbi Nuyona, going in the direction of Rashi and Tosfot, they're slightly different, says, V'avo b'shat fili yesh lo z'man kavo, he says, no, it is time-bound, you're right. But afilu achi, kevan sh'amru halavai, sh'itpalel ha'adam kol olam kulo, since we say that if only people could pray all day, right? Ideally, you should be praying all day, as Simi said before. So therefore, kimitzvah she'en hazman grama dainin la, it's technically time-bound, but it's not really time-bound, because if between shacharis and mincha, something comes up, what should you do? Pray! So yes, we require you three times a day, but fundamentally, prayer isn't time-bound. It's a constant experience that we have, which is asking God for things that we need. And he gets this from where? Inami mishum shirachim, or because it's for mercy, right? Either way, the point is, yeah, it might be time-bound, but it's not really time-bound at its core, and it's a religious necessity, even if it were time-bound. He gets this from number 13, where the Gemara had said that Rilazar Omar, safek kara kriyat shema, safek lo kara. If you're not sure if you said shema, so choser v'kore kriyat shema, you have to say shema again, because it's a biblical mitzvah, and whenever we have a doubt about a biblical mitzvah, we'll make you do it again. Safek itpalel, safek lo itpalel. If you're not sure whether you prayed Shmoneh Esrei or not, ein chozer mitpalel. You don't go back and do it again because it's rabbinic. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, no, I don't care that prayer is rabbinic. If you're not sure you prayed, pray again. Ulevai sheitpalel kol hayom kulo. Because prayer fundamentally, it would be great if we could pray all day. We can't. We don't have time. So we say we'll do it just three times a day. But really, we should be praying all day. Right, every time you need a parking spot, every time you need to get through traffic, every time you feel like you're getting sick, every time you're tired and you don't know how you're going to make it through the day, every time, right, you just hope that, you know, the milk isn't spoiled and you don't have to run out to go shopping, every time, whatever it is, things come up every moment of the day and you should always be davening. There's always something to ask for. Whereas the Levush formulates, it is not time-bound because its time is always. It is at all times. Okay. So what we have now, therefore, is the biblical strata where prayer is, on the one hand, either a daily mitzvah, but not time-bound, or in response to distress. The rabbinic strata, which is that we tell you're obligated at least three times a day. But we recognize that in addition to the formal halacha of tefillah, tefillah is a fundamental religious need, which, when we say you do it three times a day, what we really mean is you do it at least three times a day, but really, it's supposed to be a constant experience. And therefore, the Gemara says that at some point, because of either the fact that tefillah is not really time-bound, or even though it is time-bound, the religious necessity of prayer is so great that it overrides the normal rules of time-bound mitzvot, women are obligated even in some remnant of the rabbinic strata. Right? Yeah.
As between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, is one of them halacha and one of them
Yeah, we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. We passed him like Rabbi Yochanan, that if you forget whether you daven or not, daven again, and what we say is do tefillat nidava, do it as an optional, right, do it on condition, that if I forgot mincha, this is mincha. If I already daven mincha, this is a voluntary prayer. So then the question that faced the poskim was, okay, so we understand biblically what women are obligated in, and we understand rabbinically the logic to say that even though it's somewhat time-bound, women should be obligated anyways. But the question is, what did we actually do? Right? When we said that women are obligated, to what extent did we actually obligate them? Right? We have the biblical strata, we have the rabbinic strata. Where exactly did we plug in the obligation? Okay. So, here's where it gets a bit complicated in terms of what we actually said. I will say in advance, now that we're getting to actual psak, I'm not poskening. Okay? My general rule is I don't posken. I will say my opinion. I will tell you also that Ora thinks I'm wrong and does not follow my opinion, right? Which is fine, right? I do not claim to posken for Ora. And whatever you do, we'll see. Basically, every position that you've ever heard of is supported. But I do want to explore the logic of each one, and both halachically and religiously, what's really behind each logic. Then you can decide with however you paskin, whoever you ask for shailas, you can go ask them what you should do, or keep doing whatever you've been doing. But I want to see where it comes from, both halachically and more broadly, spiritually, what is the logic behind it? And like I said, Ora doesn't agree with me, so okay. Magen Avraham in 15. So the Magen Avraham's argument goes as follows. I'll tell it to you outside, and then we'll look at a bit of it inside. He puts forth the following argument. He says, okay, according to the Ramban, how often does one have to pray? The Ramban, right? Ramban was once a day. Ramban is whenever you're in distress. So according to Ramban, let's say you live a perfect life. Everything is great, right? Everything, right? You're healthy. You have kids. They're healthy. Your parents are healthy. Your siblings are healthy. Your friends are healthy. You don't know anybody sick, right? You live in, I don't know, Los Angeles, where the weather is always exactly perfect, so you never need to be warmer, you never need to be colder, whatever, or pick your place in Israel, fine, where the weather is like that. Nowhere quite. Places, the weather is, nowhere is quite that perfect weather-wise, but okay. But you have the perfect life, the perfect house, the perfect health, perfect family, perfect everything, right? So how often are you praying, if you're this imaginary person? You're not. So then, according to the Ramban, when the rabbis swooped in and instituted prayer and said, women are obligated in prayer, what must they have meant? How often are women obligated in prayer? The same as men. Right? Because according to the Ramban, biblically, nobody's obligated every day. So if the rabbis then said, men are obligated three times a day and women are obligated like men, there is no biblical or rabbinic strata. For the Ramban, there is no daily mitzvah of prayer at all. So to say that women are obligated in the biblical mitzvah is meaningless. It just means you have to daven whenever you need something. But the implication of the Gemara is you're obligated in prayer at some sort of set intervals, which only exists on the rabbinic level, and therefore we only have one model, which is three times a day. The only thing we could play with is Mariv, because Mariv always has this middle status that Mariv is Rishut, right? The Gemara calls Mariv optional. So maybe Mariv is optional, but as the Gemara, as the Rishonim describe it, we've accepted it as an obligation, but maybe only men accepted it as an obligation, women didn't. So either three times a day or two times a day, right? Either Shachar Mincha or Shachar Mincha Mariv. That's the only possibility, really. Okay? According to the Rambam, though, the Rambam says that biblically, how often do you need to daven? Once a day. But what is the format of your prayer? Seemingly whatever you want, though that's not actually clear, and we'll come back then in just a second, but let's pretend. Whatever you want. Right? Once a day, you got to turn to God and say, God, please make sure that my day goes well, make sure I'm healthy, make sure my family's healthy. Whatever it is you're going to pray for, just turn to God and ask whatever it is you need. Okay? According to the Rambam, what could have happened when the rabbi said women are obligated in prayer? One of two things could have happened. They either could say women are obligated exactly the same as men, or they could say that what happened, the difference between the biblical and the rabbinic is that when they daven, on a biblical level, they only had to say whatever tefillah they wanted. Rabbinically, when they daven once a day, it has to be Shmoneh Esrei. But no one ever said that they need to daven three times a day. Or alternatively, they're not even saying that. Maybe biblically, since you have to daven once a day, you might have thought that women are exempt because it's sort of time-bound, as the Gemara said, right? And when the rabbis swooped in, all they did was say that women have to daven once a day, even though it's sort of time-bound. They didn't even say you have to daven Shmoneh Esrei at all. So the Magen Avraham in 15 says, so wrote Rambam, who holds that prayer is a biblical commandment, as it says, to worship him with all his heart. However, biblically, it's sufficient to pray once a day in any way you want. Therefore, most women are accustomed to not pray regularly. For in the morning, following washing their hands, they immediately say some request, and biblically this is sufficient. And it's possible that even the sages did not obligate them in more. So the Magen Avraham suggests that maybe for the Rambam, the rabbis didn't actually introduce anything more than a statement that women should make sure to fulfill the biblical mitzvah of tefillah, which according to him is say some sort of prayer of any sort once a day at any point, and that's it. What? Any language, anything, something. Make sure at some point you take a minute and just say, God, I need health, parnasa, shidduch, no traffic, right? A good cup of coffee, whatever it is, just something, right? Something. The Ramban, who holds that prayer is rabbinic, as do most authorities, would not say that, right? And see, Tosfot and Smag raise the commandment to pray at any time of distress, right? For them, this wouldn't work, right? Dot, dot, dot. And therefore, you would have to say that women are obligated, like men, three times a day, presumably. Okay? So Magen Avraham's conclusion, therefore, for Rambam, is that what women are obligated in is just the biblical mitzvah. The Gemara didn't mean that women are obligated in the rabbinic strata. They just were reiterating that women are obligated in the biblical strata, the biblical level, which is once a day, any format of prayer. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef in 16 takes just a slight slight twist on this, which is that you should daven once a day, right? Women have to daven once a day, but he thinks that what happened between the biblical and the rabbinic strata is that biblically you only need to daven some prayer, rabbinically you need to daven Shmoneh Esrei. So Rav Ovadia Yosef agrees with Magen Avraham that women have to daven once a day. He just says that while biblically that could have been any prayer, rabbinically that needs to be Shmoneh Esrei. So you need to say Shmoneh Esrei once a day. That's what Rav Ovadia thinks. Though in 17, I just noted that Rav Soloveitchik quoted his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who argued that on the Magen Avraham, and said the Magen Avraham is impossible. It must be, at best, like Rav Ovadia Yosef, because if you look back, if you jump back to number 11. Go back to number 11. Right, the Rambam, when describing what tefillah looks like, he says, therefore, women and slaves are obligated in prayer because it is a positive commandment lacking a fixed time. The obligation of this commandment is as follows. A person should supplicate and pray every day and relate the praises of God. Afterwards, ask for their needs as a request and supplication. Afterwards, give praise and thanks to God. Right, for the good that has been disposed upon him, etc. So, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik argued that Magen Avraham is obviously wrong. Because even biblically, right, the assumption of Magen Avraham is biblically, all you need to do is say, God, give me what I need. But the Rambam doesn't sound like that. The Rambam says that whenever you pray, even, you know, a spontaneous tefillah, there should be an element of praise, an element of supplication, an element of thanks. So according to that, Reb Chaim said it can't be that anybody fulfills their daily obligation simply by saying, God, I need something. Right? Part of the process of even our visceral tefillot is a recognition, thank you for what I have, right? God, right, you are great, that's why I'm even turning to you, and please give me what I need. Right? That basic structure needs to be true. So he argues that no one ever thought that you could get away with a random tefillah. Maybe you don't need Shmoneh Esrei, but you need that format of Shmoneh Esrei, meaning starting with a bit of praise, supplication and thanks. That, minimally, you need. That's what tefillah is all about. So that's the Magen Avraham's position. By Magen Avraham, you can daven anything. Reb Chaim, if you add that, maybe you have to daven once a day, at least with praise, supplication, thanks. And Reb Avadi Yosef saying, no, when you added the rabbinic strata, that meant you have to daven once a day, but you have to daven Shmoneh Esrei, the format of tefillah as we know it. But the Shagas Aryeh in 18 says this can't be true. He said, what are you talking about? Look at what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, you might have thought that women are exempt from tefillah because it's time-bound. But remember what all the Rishonim said? That no, because prayer is so necessary to our religious lives, even though it is time-bound, you're obligated. So what does that sound like? Right now, again, the Rambam didn't have this gear, so, but according to Rashi, Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Gemara's flow was, you might have thought that women are exempt because it's time-bound, but even though it's time-bound, it's a necessary part of being a religious person, which is asking for the things you need. Well, then what should that mean? That even though it's time-bound, women are obligated, which means three times a day. And that's what the Shagas Aryeh says. He said there is no such thing. He says his words are neither correct nor true. This 18. For where have we found that? They said women are exempt from prayer because it's a time-bound positive commandment. On the contrary, they say they are obligated because it is mercy. For there is no biblical basis for prayer. It is, meaning our prayer. It is rabbinic. And they establish set times only for mercy for women as well who are obligated in prayer. He said, no, the point is prayer is necessary for our lives. So what the rabbi said was, no, if prayer is necessary, it's necessary. There are no distinctions. There are no exceptions. The Mishnah Brura in 19 says, therefore, women should be careful to say the Amidah. Now, he says it's also proper for them, even though not obligatory, to accept the yoke of heaven and say at least Shema, and say Emet V'yatziv, to juxtapose redemption to prayer. And he said this is all Shachris and Mincha. He accepts the Shagas Aryeh, that women are obligated in tefillot, but, as we noted before, Marav might be different. This is the Mishnah Berurah, he says. I accept fundamentally Shagas Aryeh's argument that when the rabbi said women are obligated in prayer, they meant just like men, but Marav is the exception, because Marav is not obligatory for anybody, it's just that men happen to have the custom to say Marav. So women didn't take that, but Marav, which is optional, even though all Jews have accepted it as an obligation, meaning men, nevertheless women did not accept it, and most do not pray Marav. As for Musaf, that's a machloket. The Tzlach said they're exempt, Magen Giborim ruled that they are obligated. I'll just say, right, parenthetically, if you just look at 21, the reason Musaf might be different is because, A, Musaf is not about Rachamim. Right? Of all the tefillah that we have, right, if the reason that women are obligated is because prayer is about mercy, Musaf isn't. It's a statement of the Karbanot. It's a very different type of prayer, so it doesn't fit that rubric. And also, it's related to the Karbanot and the collection of Machzit HaShekel, which was given by men. So it might be different, it might not be different, but we'll leave Musaf on the side. The Aruch HaShulchan rejected even this by the Mishnah Berurah, and just says in 20, it's only with difficulty that we can defend the practice of women who are not careful with all three amidot. And the Aruch HaShulchan says straight. The Gemara said that prayer is too essential to our existence, and therefore women are obligated like men. That means women are obligated like men. Right? Period. End of story. So now, just to summarize the range, and then we have like 15 minutes left, then I want to spell out the implications of it, okay? So according to the Magen Avraham, women are obligated in the minimalist understanding of what the Rambam thinks you have to daven on a biblical level, which is, at least once a day, make sure to check in with God and ask for what you need. Reb Avadia Yosef says the minimum is once a day, but Shmoneh Esrei. The Aruch HaShulchan of the opposite extreme says no, that what the Gemara said is prayer is essential to our existence, and therefore there is no difference between men and women, three times a day, end of story. And then the middle position, which is the Mishnah Berurah, which is that should be true, but Marav is this optional thing, so Marav, right, subtract Marav from the equation, Shachris and Mincha. As an aside, I once heard that Rabbi Bravender, back in the day, So he used to tell his students that would ask him, right, what should we do, right? How should we paskin? So he said he paskin like the Mishnah Brura, right? So he would tell his students to daven shachar and mincha, and then they would ask him, well, what about Maariv? Right? What about Maariv? Right? Because a lot of his students were asking when they were in seminary, and they were going from there to college. They were going there from university. Right, what we call in the States college, and here, university, right? They were going to undergraduate, okay? Now, if anyone knows anything about secular college campuses, it's a community thing. So the frum people, men, women, whoever show up at shul, and they daven with the minyan. So they were coming anyway, so they said, should we daven Maariv? Right, so in a very classic Rabbi Rofinder way, he said, look, you don't have to daven Maariv. I have to daven Maariv. You don't have to daven Maariv. You can do whatever you want. So I wouldn't say, you know, just leave Maariv and, I don't know, watch TV. But why don't you use the opportunity to learn, right? Because you're not obligated in Maariv. And as he would like saying, I don't really like davening Maariv, but I don't have a choice. You do have a choice, right? So right, Clapper, who's a teacher of mine, who at the time was the rabbi of the Harvard Hillel, said he was jealous because he had two girls, who he was their teacher, and they did exactly that. And while, you know, all the men who didn't really love davening but liked learning would, you know, have to continue Maariv, they would leave after Mincha, and they would go to the Beit Midrash, and they would just learn during Maariv, which is an interesting way of dealing with it. I don't think anyone else would agree that you specifically shouldn't daven Maariv. Like, if you want to daven Maariv, why not? But, okay. But anyways, that's the range of positions. So like I said, whatever you do, right, they are all in poskim, in significant poskim. My tendency is to agree with the Aruch HaShulchan, as did Rabbi Soloveitchik, which was to say that really, women should be obligated in all three. As I said, my wife does not do this, right? Aura does not agree with me. And Aura usually paskins like the Mishnah Brura and said daven shachris and mincha. Though, and here's where we come to the though, there's a twist here. Let's move away from a moment from halacha, okay? And let's ask not what is, because now we've seen the range of what is, right, or what could be, and ask what should be. Because what's interesting about the discussion of tefillah is that the Gemara itself is not value neutral on this, right? The Gemara does not, at least the way Rov Rishonim, not the Rambam, but the way most of the Rishonim read the text, the Gemara is not at all value neutral here. The Gemara doesn't say, well, it's time-bound, it's not time-bound, how much is it time-bound? The Gemara puts forward value arguments, which is, I don't care whether it's time-bound or not. Tefillah is different because it's important as a religious person to pray. We all need to pray. We all want to pray at some point in our life. Whatever that means to you, right? There are times in life where we want to dominate. The Gemara said, therefore, whatever the rule is, a mitzvah says is man grama, leave it aside. Because tefillah is one of those cases where we, if you ask not the formal question, but the religious question, the emotional question, should women be obligated the same as men? The answer is, yes, they should. Right? They absolutely should. Because it's rachame ninhu. Because everyone needs mercy. Everyone needs things in life. And tefillah is our opportunity to turn to God and ask for them. So if you take it a moment away from the halachic discussion and you say, okay, but what should be true? On the one hand, and you can, you know, tell me whether you agree with me, on the one hand, you sort of want the answer to be that women are obligated the same as men. Right? On the one hand, you sort of want that to be true for the same reason the Gemara may say it's true, which is, even if it is time-bound, tefillah is unique. Right? What are you saying if you say that women aren't obligated in tefillah the same way men are? What, that women don't have needs the way men do? Right? They do. We all do. Men, women, doesn't matter. Right? And depending on what you're davening for, I mean, to give a proof, right, a anecdotal proof, you look around, right, at Tehillim groups, right, who is organizing Tehillim groups, right, not men, right, women tend to be better, if anything, at actually expressing the emotions of tefillah than men, right? You look around at who volunteers to pray writ large, right? It's often women and not men. So to say that women are exempt, there's something off about that, which is what really the Aruch HaShulchan is saying the Gemara said. Now, on the other hand, there's two rejoinders to that. One is the fundamental one, which is that may be true, but the fact that women should be able to pray equally doesn't necessarily translate it into women are obligated in the same formal way as men are, right? Because going back to the Rabbi Bravender story, on the one hand, you'd say, yes, they should be obligated the same way as men. But it's not really true, because, or necessarily true, on a religious level. Because, as anybody who has davened 3 times a day at shul can attest, it's very nice to say that every Shemona Esrei that you daven is this deep spiritual experience. But realistically, that's not how it goes. To say that everybody needs tefillah, men are obligated in Shemona Esrei, and women are, right, you can either say not obligated in Shemona Esrei or not restricted by Shemona Esrei, right? There's two ways of looking at that, right? One is the way I just presented it, which is how could there be a difference between men and women? On the other hand, you could say no. Women have the opportunity, if you paskin, let's say like the Magen Avraham, that all they're obligated in is to daven whenever they need, right, once a day, in whatever way they want. What you're really saying is, in the language of the Gemara, ulevai shish palel adam kolam kulo, you can daven all day, but unlike men, you're free to choose the way that it's most meaningful to you. So one religious response, not halachic response, would be, there's nothing wrong religiously with saying, yes, we all need to pray, but we can recognize that people have different ways to pray. There's also, then, the practical issue, right? Which is, even if you think that men and women should be equally obligated in Shemona Esrei 3 times a day, saying that creates a practical problem, right? An undeniable practical problem. Whatever you know, whether we like it or not, it creates a practical problem. Now, obviously, you could say, well, look, shofar, technically, men and women are not obligated the same way. And yet, because we both feel like we're obligated, we've accepted it being obligated, we figure out how both men and women can get to shul. And if we really, really believe that men and women were equally obligated in Shemona Esrei, then we would come up with a way that men and women would both get to shul. And if the kids are screaming, so that means that, you know, one parent has them first and the other parent has them second, right? If we really believe it, it's surmountable, theoretically. But we all know that life is much more complicated than what is theoretically true. And the fact that it's difficult enough on Rosh Hashanah to manage to get everybody to shul with the kids and, you know, davening and hearing shofar for 10 minutes, right? We know that if we tried to do that every day, right, it would be extremely difficult. So there is the practical problem, right? Which would say, yes, on the one hand, you want to say that everyone's equally obligated. On the other hand, there are practical issues involved that make that difficult. So it's nice to, you know, so there's something freeing about, you know, poskening, let's say, by the Magen Avraham or B'Avad Yosef, and not saying that. So, if you look, in 22-23, I just gave some English summaries here. He says, Zerurei Brofsky said, look, practically speaking, it would seem the majority of authorities require women to recite the Shemona Esrei at least twice daily. However, some achronim are more lenient for those women who are busy taking care of their children. The Chafetz Chaim, for example, who remember said that women should daven how often? Twice a day Shemona Esrei, right? Mishnah Berurah was twice a day Shemona Esrei. But the same person, for example, is reported by his son, Rabbi Arya Leib, reportedly instructed his wife not to recite the Shemona Esrei during the years in which he was caring for small children. Meaning there's the theoretical, and then there was the practical problems where he said pragmatism is also part of life. Right, there's the theoretical, there's the pragmatic. Furthermore, the Chazon Ish also apparently felt that in addition to relying upon the Magen Avraham said above, women may be exempt from tefillah while caring for the children because they're unable to achieve the proper level of kavanah. Some even suggest that a mother caring for young children may be equated with a person tending to a sick person who's exempt from tefillah. Similarly, some suggest that caring for children may be considered osik b'mitzvah, meaning being involved in another mitzvah, during which one is exempt from fulfilling other mitzvot. Meaning, One way of looking at it is it's pragmatic. The other way is not pragmatic, to say no. Tefillah is important, but so is everything else. So, you know, Orah likes saying that she, in the theoretically, right, it's possible we could, you know, decide we'd have a babysitter every morning, right, and Orah and I could both go to shul, right? She's happy that she's not obligated to do that because for her, part of her avodat Hashem and what she wants to be doing is to be exempt and be home and daven whenever, you know, she would rather have to squeeze in Shmona Esrei and Shlosh Acharis, you know, between classes she's teaching than not be able, than do what I do, have to run out and not be able to spend time with the kids in the morning. Part of her life, she would rather balance it with other values, right? So there's the pragmatic response, and there's also the value response, which is maybe the reason that there might be more leniency for women is because there are different religious values. Men are obligated in a certain type of expression, and women have the option of choosing which expression of that they want. In 23, you look, Rav Moshe Feinstein, all at once. Yeah.
I should clarify.
I mean, no one, even if you think women have to daven three times a day, they're not bound by the times of tefillah. But they still may be bound three times, right? According to their Aruch HaShulchan, right? Three, but presumably not at the same times that men are, because presumably they're not necessarily. But definitely if you think of any of the other positions, right, once a day or something like that, yeah, it would be any time during the day. What? Sometimes. I mean, sometimes you can and sometimes you can't, right? Sometimes being exempt from the time-bound component is enough to allow you to find time to daven, and sometimes it isn't, right? If it's a particularly busy day, you know, if the sun rises at 7:50, right, and sets at 4:30, right, sometimes, which it does sometimes here in the winter, even not being time-bound, right, you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen, right? Sometimes it does, if you're really good at it, sometimes it doesn't, right? Yeah.
My mom's taking care of young children, and she's up at night, and she has a lot of children.
Right, I mean, and that's really what the Chafetz Chaim was, you know, apparently told his wife, is even though this is my fundamental position, right, there's a pragmatic thing here, or the Chazon Ish, that if you can't get the Kavana, so what's the point, right? There are competing values which are valuable that you don't want to take away attention from them. Okay, I'll skip the next one because we're running out of time. Okay, what I've put on the last page here is another, some of these religious points. I just gave a quote from Rabbi Salvation in 24, right? Again, part of what I think needs to be part of this discussion is beyond the formal issue, is that prayer is, as the Rav says, a vital need for the religious individual. He cannot stop the thoughts, emotions, deliberations and troubles which surge through the depth of his soul, his hopes and aspirations, his despair and bitterness. In short, the great wealth that is concealed in his religious consciousness. It is impossible to halt the liturgical outpourings of these feelings. Prayer is essential. Fresh, vibrant, religious feelings cannot exist without it. In other words, prayer is justified by virtue of the fact that it is impossible to exist without it. I mean, one of the things we have to remember is that tefillah is not just a formal question. Right, whatever answer we come up with, we need to deal with the religious reality that everyone needs to pray. And as Rai Karmi, summarizing the Rav, says, as in other areas, Rai Salvation was not embarrassed by the fact that the ordinary believer comes to God with mixed motives. Right? It's not just that prayer is essential. Prayer in its most mundane form is what God wants. Right? Unlike the mystics, he championed a straightforward interpretation of petitionary prayers and its central place in tefillah. God has commanded us to request his help with respect to our mundane needs. There is no reason to salvage the ingredient of self-seeking in this by redescribing our entreaties as disguised moves in an occult metaphysical exercise whose true object is the Shekhinah rather than the speaker. Meaning the Rav said, first of all, tefillah is essential, and it's essential in a visceral sense. I mean, tefillah is supposed to be that need that we have. So saying that anybody's exempt from tefillah really is a hard thing to say, because tefillah at its core is this visceral religious necessity. And not only that, in 26, prayer in Judaism, unlike the prayer in classical mysticism, is bound up with human needs, wants, drives, and urges which make man suffer. Prayer is the doctrine of human needs. Prayer tells the individual, as well as the community, what his or its genuine needs are, what he should or should not petition God about. It's also a moment of self-reflection. By telling someone that you don't have to daven, you're also saying you don't have to reflect on what is it that you need? What should you need? Well, you're not giving people the opportunity to meet, to meditate on the basics of being a religious person, right? So there's a lot at stake here when we talk about being obligated or not being obligated in tefillah. Okay, I'll leave the last source out for now, or I'll leave it really out. Okay, so just to summarize, though, what we have. There's the formal question we started with, where we've seen basically the range of opinions. Women are equally obligated, men or all the way to the other extreme. They have to daven at some point during the day. But what the poskim and the Gemara highlights is that what's at stake here is a lot more than just how many times a day do you have to daven. Because there are really two competing values here, or multiple competing values, that we have to be true to however we answer the question. On the one hand, right, the reason we're obligated in tefillah is not just because it's a formal obligation, it's a religious necessity. So on the one hand, you might want to say that women are fully obligated just like men. On the other hand, there's something constricting about having to go to shul and daven three times a day. And there is something freeing about saying, yes, there's a religious necessity of tefillah, but you don't have to say that women are equally obligated to recognize that they also express, that women also express tefillah in their own way just like men. Right? Or in a different way than men. And just because like religious, just like prayers are a religious necessity, there are other values which are religious necessities as well. And some of those who are lenient on women's obligation of tefillah are not doing it because it's not, as George Bush once said, the soft bigotry of low expectations, right? It's a recognition that there are competing values, and the Torah sometimes answers the question of how do you balance those competing values in different ways for different people. But however you come at practically, whether you think women are equally obligated or not, it's important to keep our eye on the fact that whatever position we have has to be true to all of those competing values. On the one hand, men and women need to recognize the importance of tefillah in their lives, not just as an obligation, but as an opportunity, as a meaningful religious experience. Women, unlike men, then have to decide, right, between them and their posek and however they come to halachic decisions, how they balance that reality with other values. And whatever balance you come with will, in the end of the day, be true to the totality of Torah. So tefillah is an interesting place where we get to see not just the halacha, but the meta-halachic discussion, which is how do you balance, on the one hand, formal obligations with the recognition that formal obligations are themselves a reflection of that which we value in a religious life. And the decisions that we come to in tefillah, especially for women's obligation in tefillah, is a reflection of the decisions we've made of how we balance those values. It's not saying that women are, in chas v'shalom, a lesser level. It's that possibly the calculus of how you balance religious values is different. But the values exist for both men and women, and that's something that's important. Because, and this, you know, just to, you know, end with this, it's important that whatever decision you make, and how, right, however obligated you think you are, that you realize that when you are obligated, whatever you're doing in tefillah, that's not as a secondary obligation, right? That is essential to your religious life, even if you've decided that you balance it differently than men, right? It is equally vital for men and women, and we can't let the fact that your tefillah doesn't look like a man who has to go three times a day, right, to shul, the fact they don't look alike should never make us forget the fact, the Gemara said, in the end of the day, tefillah is rachamein inhu. We all need mercy, and therefore, however you do tefillah, you are as obligated as a man in that tefillah, and that's something that's important, not just halachically, but religiously as well. Okay.